Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, be present with us now in the hour of our need. Comfort us, strengthen us, heal us, and make us whole, that we may bless the lives of others with the good news of your Son. In his name I pray, amen. Please be seated. So, wow, what a week. I mean, last Sunday was supposed to be my 10th anniversary as your rector. I had this Cracker Jack sermon all teed up. We did it for the first time since I've been here, at least, canceled services last Sunday because of this little fellow named Harvey. And the senior warden and I stood out front anyway because we thought people might show up. And three actually did. And I've never argued people away from church before. No, we're not having service. You need to go home and pray. And so it's been quite a week. So now what? Right? How you doing? Yeah, you're all lying. In church, some of you are telling a lie. I know. So I know a lot of you are great, but not everybody's great. I'm standing, and you're sitting on holy ground. This is holy ground. It may not have felt like a holy week. You might have said holy something or other a couple of times throughout the week. I said holy cow a lot. But you are standing on holy ground. I want to do just a few things with you this morning. The first I want to do is give you permission slips. When I was a kid in school, I loved permission slips because it meant I didn't, you know, you get a permission slip and usually you got to leave class. So you got a permission slip to go help somebody or go to the doctor's office, which usually meant, you know, usually found a way to make that 2 or 3 hours. Or maybe you got to go, you had behaved a certain way and you got permission slip to go play on the playground. You remember permission slips. So I'm going to give you permission slips, not individually. Let's just pretend that I'm giving you permission slip to feel whatever it is you feel. Really feel. So I say you're okay. You all say fine. And you may be fine, but some of you may be really angry right now. And some of you may be really sad. Some of you may be afraid, you may be in despair, you may be confused, you may want to shake your fist at God. If you want to read the book of Psalms, there are a lot of good prayers in there, and they are every kind, including people who are mad at God, people who are asking God why or where is God, and I'm giving you permission to do all those things. How many of you had major damage? Raise your hand. I'm not going to make you stand up and talk. So, how many of you had minor damage? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you have survivor's guilt? Great. I'm going to take advantage of that for a long time. That's a gift to a preacher. How many of you know somebody who was impacted greatly? That's everybody. So our lives have changed. Our life has changed. Houston has changed. Everything's changed. We were all headed in one direction. Probably last weekend, some of you thought this was going to be your last vacation weekend. You were going to skip church and go somewhere. And now here you are praying to God, which is a good place to be. I'm tired. You know, I wrote down this morning the number of tropical storms and hurricanes I could remember that my wife and I had lived through. Lily, Gustav, Arlene, Dennis, Ike, Rita, Katrina, Ivan, and now Harvey, which was the worst. And we were right in the middle of a few of those that I just mentioned, but this is the worst. I'm going to give you permission to weep over your stuff. My wife visited more houses than I did this weekend. I spent a lot of time typing you emails. But yesterday we visited, I guess, about 12 homes. And as we did, occasionally somebody would say, well, you know, we've got our lives for which we're thankful, but they would say, but we've lost our stuff. But then they go, but it's just stuff. But it's your stuff. And it's pictures of your grandchildren. Or it's your wedding ring. Or it's that piece of furniture that your mother or grandmother gave you. Or it's that silly little trinket that you and your spouse picked up at the tourist trap in Mexico. You know, it's still your stuff. And it's okay to be sad about your stuff. So, and if any of you come up to me and say, oh, it's all good, I can't be held responsible for what I might do. Because this was not good. But this is holy ground, and we need to spread this holy ground. So we hear holy ground in the lesson that Stephan just read a moment ago, where Moses finds God not in his former life, which included a palace and wealth and power, but when all those are stripped away and Moses is out in the desert tending sheep, he sees a glow and he comes up and it's a bush that's burning that won't stop burning, and a voice comes out and says, take off your sandals, you're standing on holy ground. And Moses says, well, who is this? And he says, I am. And I am is about to tell you that you've got a task in front of you, and the task is to go back into Egypt and to get the Hebrew people, and you're going to bring them out of slavery. And he said, well, who am I supposed to say sent me? And he said, you tell them I am sent me, and you're standing on holy ground. And he did what the great I am told him to. And we turn to the lesson in Romans that Stephan just read for us. And boy, it's on page 7. It is a roadmap for what to do after Harvey. Even though it was Paul's letter to the Romans, written a long, long time ago. Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with mutual affection, outdo one another in showing honor, do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, extend hospitality to strangers. He goes on, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, live in harmony with one another, do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly, do not claim to be wiser than you are. And then he ends, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. It's a wonderful reminder of what to do in times of crisis, and we're in a time of crisis. And it is a way in which we spread the presence of God. We make holy the ground around us so that people can encounter God. Because they're asking right now, some of you are asking, where is God? C.S. Lewis said, we may ignore, but we can nowhere evade the presence of God. The world is crowded with him. He walks everywhere incognito. God is all around us. But the job of spreading that holy ground is ours. Nancy Mayers, who's a spiritual writer, she died just a couple years ago. She writes, God is no white knight who charges into the world to pluck us like distressed damsels from the jaws of dragons or diseases. God chooses to become present to and through us. It is up to us to rescue one another. And then we hear the gospel lesson read, Jesus's reminder that if you're my disciples, you're to love one another. If you're my disciples, the way people are going to know you're my disciples is not the buildings you build. It's not the programs you have. It's not the outreach ministry you have. It's not your stained glass. I mean, those are all part of it. It's great. But this is how they'll know. If you love one another, that is how my presence is spread. And boy, boy, has God's presence not been made known in Houston these last few days? Oh my goodness, we're not supposed to be prideful in church, but I am so proud of Houston. I love Houston. I love our leaders, our mayor, our county judge, our first responders. They have been absolutely incredible. And you know, you all have been great. Yeah, my wife and I noticed yesterday, we actually got out and driving around, and people were actually nice in traffic. They were like, no, you first. After you. One guy stopped in the middle of the road, wasn't even a light. He stopped and let us in. You. 2 weeks, that's my guess. To be back to normal. But my wife said something the other day that is so true. The only thing larger than this gaping hole of need we now face is the incredible generosity and ability to get things done possessed by the great people of Harris County. They will fill that need. And you and I, members of St. Martin's, we're being called to fill that need right now. We had so little happen to our house, I don't even want to mention it, but enough to call the insurance agent. That's why you pay for it. And so had one guy come yesterday, one's coming today, and I'm going to be sure and wear my collar. Just back from serving my parishioners. I don't see any damage here. No, but it's here. But what do insurance agents call what just happened? What do they call it? Not a disaster. They call it an act of God, right? It's an act of God. Let's blame God for another thing. Well, Harvey was not an act of God. We live in a natural world. Harvey was a disaster, a natural disaster. That's what Harvey was. I can do a whole nother sermon on that. I'll save that. But I will tell you, the natural disaster is gone, and now comes the act of God. We're the act of God. We get the opportunity to be the act of God. D. Martin Lloyd Jones, a Reformed minister, wrote, "There is the fundamental thing, the most serious thing of all, that we are always in the presence of God." So when that storm was beginning to rage, God was there. If you had no damage, God was there. If you had floodwaters in your home, God was there. If you were boated out of your house, God was there. If you were boating people out of your house, God was there. God was there. God is here. So what now? What now? What next? In the wake of nature's havoc, now comes the act of God. You, as you stand before him in prayer like Moses, you, as you allow genuine love to pour out of you, you, as you show others you are his disciples by loving them, and God gives you permission to do this. That's his permission slip to you. That is where God is. Don't lag in zeal. Say your prayers. Rest. I will tell you to rest. Take care of yourself, because if you don't love yourself, it's hard to love others. You know what they say when you get on the airline and they say if the oxygen mask drops down, what do? You put yours on first before you help anybody else, right? If you have a child, put yours on first, then that of your child. If you have two children, you decide which child you love the most. Right there. That's a Southwest joke, by the way. I told. But you are to say your prayers. Don't roll prayer out of this. Ask God to take you to people that need you. You are to love others. And you are to love God in this and to trust God in the middle of it. Let me close with a little image here. So one of the houses we went to yesterday, my wife and I went to yesterday, was one of our longtime members, Ann Halverson, and Ann and her husband Mike have totally lost their house. They were on a street where 44 out of 47 homes flooded. And we had several members on that street, and we were in Ann's house, and she was being quite generous in the middle of her packing. And she said, well, have some, take this, you know, and we kept trying to turn things away, but I did decide later I'd go back and check out her dumpster because it was some nice things she was getting rid of. But she said, I want you to have, take this little picture. And I agree because I said, I want to use it in the sermon today. So it reminded me of what we call an ewer. That's the large pitchers we use up front for communion wine or for before we're going to have a baptism. And so I wanted to bring this, and I filled this ewer today and part of the bowl with a little water from the River Jordan that I got and have had for the last couple of years. You can see the little protozoas that are now going on to be with their protozoa Lord floating in the bottom. But this is water from the River Jordan, and I'm going to tell you why I put this here in this way, because I want you to remember that this water is more powerful than the waters that were dumped on us last week. So I don't know if you know the topography, the geography of Israel, if you've been there, many of you have been there, and you know, it's a little sliver, and the River Jordan starts at the north of Israel, and it runs down. And the first place it kind of pools into is actually the Sea of Galilee. That's the first place. And if you've been there, you know the Sea of Galilee is beautiful. It is a calm sea. You can see why Jesus chose to work miracles there and walk on that water and catch fish there and tell the Sermon on the Mount above, looking down at it. The day we went, Marty Bastian and my wife and I were there at the Church of the Beatitudes, and it was so beautiful. The water was so clear, you could see fish swimming down in the bottom. And the land around the Sea of Galilee is quite lush, and people like to build their homes there. Kids love to play there. You can hear the voices of kids, and you can see fishing boats out on Galilee. Everything about it is live. It is alive. And then at the south end of Galilee, it runs out again, and it goes a little further south. And as it goes south, it actually ends up in a place where there are no homes. And there is no life, and there are no fish, and there are no plants. The only ones who go there are tourists who want to lay on the thickness of its saline water, and it's a stagnant air, and it's called the Dead Sea. And here's the difference. The Sea of Galilee receives the waters of the River Jordan, and they flow in, but then it releases those waters, and they pass on and go down to the Dead Sea. At the Dead Sea, there is no outlet. So the Dead Sea takes hold of all of its waters, and it jealously hoards them, and everything in its waters is dead. The Sea of Galilee receives and gives, and it lives. The Dead Sea receives and tries to keep it, and it's dead. Now, you can allow this storm to define you in such a way that you're frozen and stagnant, or you can allow this storm to pass through us and over us, because as its waters recede, even slowly in some places, life will begin again. And you can be part of that life by loving and caring for others. You can spread the holy ground by being the presence of Christ in the world around us. Do not flag in zeal. Be ardent, pray, serve, love. We have an opportunity right now to be the body of Christ. So this little bit of water here that came out of this little pitcher from the River Jordan. When you come up to receive communion today, we're Episcopalians. We're not superstitious. Okay, you might be, but Episcopalians, the symbols we use are sacraments. They're outward and visible signs of inward and spiritual things we believe. So these waters today, let them be a symbol for you, a reminder that the waters of baptism are holy ground, and they are stronger and bolder and more powerful than even that 1 trillion gallons of water that poured on us last week. Come, just put your finger in as a reminder. Receive Christ again. Go into the world. Make sure that the holy ground is not just here, that we take that holy ground out there. My friends, it's what we're called to do. Amen.